we left off, we're still trying to figure out the Shittas HaRambam, where the Rambam tells us that although Mekadesh B'mil V'zein B'kudeshes, that was a given everyone seems to agree to, but you can buy property with a milva, with a Mechilas HaMilva. So we had problems textually with that, about the Gemara doesn't seem to say that, but more important for us right now is conceptually, we don't understand how could that be. What's the svar l'chalek between the two? So yeah, we saw different ideas being tossed around by the Avnei Miluim, differences between kesef versus kesef sheyesh b'hana, maybe depending on what the source for kidding kesef hakidush is altogether. But then we saw at the very end of the shiur on Wednesday, we saw almost a mysterious quote from the Tosfos Ri HaZochin. The Tosfos Ri HaZochin says that the issue, whether the Rambam is correct or not, is a machlekes Rav Yochanan Ish Lachish. It depends on how do you buy metaltolin. Do you buy metaltolin through kesef min haTorah, or do you buy metaltolin through meshicha min haTorah? So he said, metaltolin, the whole sugar went right by us. What exactly is going on? So we began to give an explanation. The end of Shin Wednesday, in the name of Rav Zsolti, in the name of the Mishnas Yavetz, where the Mishnas Yavetz suggests that the Nekudas of Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish, how to buy Metaltolin is really a fundamental Machlokes as to what exactly a Kinyan is all about. What exactly is the whole idea of a Kinyan in the sense of, is a Kinyan something that you require a Pasuk for, you require Xeris HaKosuk for, you have to find a Mokor for a Kinyan, almost like a religious act, not literally, but almost like a religious act that requires a Pasuk. What do I say? No, that Kinyanim are in a sense more fluid than that. Kinyanim are, if this is the Derech HaOlam, this is the way people do things, this is the Svar Pshuta, this is obviously the Torah gives us a lot of Dinim Mamonis based on what's the Haskamas B'nei Adam, what people do, what's considered to be the normal business practices. Those are all part, that's part of Chashem Mishpat. Again, there are certain objective parts of Chashem Mishpat. It's not just all, you know, it's what they call common law. It's not just, you know, stop what the Olam is doing. There are very real parts of Chashem Mishpat, but it could be that the specifics, the precise Inyanim of Kinyanim may have a certain degree, certain dimension of what the olam does, so to speak, what's considered to be the normal svara.
Is that all dinim?
No. Clearly not all. I mean, there are definitely all of, we have from all the pashtim mishpatim. There are a lot of dinim of dinim amnis, but there are good portions of dinim amnis that are nitan v'svara. So it could be that is at least the way the Ramban presented above Mitzia. The Rabbi Yochanan Shita that Devar Torah Mos Konos is not based on a pasuk. Unlike other Rishon who needed a pasuk for it, the Ramban says no. The Yechon's opinion is that Tomos Konos, you know why? Because that's normal. That's the normal. That's the svar. That's the pasha way of doing things. If that's true, that that's the pasha way of doing things, and therefore it's a svar pshuta that Vatora Mos Konos, that is not only true for metaltolin, it's true for that matter for karka as well. It's, if I ask you 100 people on the street, how do I sell a house? I sell a house. Gives you the money for the house. So you sell them the house. You don't need any great chokhmah to do it. You don't need any great gzeres hakos to do it. It's svar pshuta. So even though the original presentation of the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish begins in metaltolin, it's much deeper than metaltolin. It really, all of kinyanim ultimately are going to depend on this machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. If that's the case, as Mishas Yavetz, all the Gemaras that talk about menani mili, that they're kinyani karka, how do you know you can buy karka with kesef? So Zsolti says, that's in the world of Ish Lakish, you need those Gemaras. According to Yochanan, you don't need those Gemaras. According to Yochanan, what do you need a Pasuk for? I need a Pasuk in the Rav Yirmiyah to tell me that you can buy a field with Kesef. I don't have a Pasuk to tell me I can buy potatoes with Kesef. So the same way I don't need a Pasuk to tell me you can buy potatoes with Kesef, I don't need a Pasuk to tell you can buy a house or field with Kesef. But at the end of the day, Manif community, at the end of the day, everybody agrees that Karak is the Kesef. So Bach Patli, what do I care? Whether the source of that din is derived from Xeris HaKosov, whether the source is based on the Svar, what's the difference? It says Mishnah Yavetz makes all the difference in the world. If you hold that Kinyan Kesef is just a Poshut, simple Svar, there are no halachas, so to speak, that govern what constitutes Kesef. What governed Kesef is, take a survey of 100 people and ask them, does it look to you that Reuven gave Shimon money? If the answer to that question is yes, then the Kinyan is effective. When you're moichel l'chov to somebody in the world of business, you gave him the money. At the end of the day, his bank account has $100 more and yours has $100 less. What's the difference whether the way you gave him $100 was paying him $100, writing him a check for $100, giving him your credit card for $100, or being moichel l'chov that he owed you for $100? It's all the same thing. At the end of the day, you're down $100, he's up $100. So says Rav Sholte, if you go with the approach of Rabbi Yochanan that Kinyanim are basically svaris, and I don't need a pasuk for Kinyan Kesef neither for Metalim nor for Karka. So that it makes a lot of sense what the Rambam is saying conceptually, that Mechilas Hanuf is called a Kesef. It's only in the realm of Kedushin that that's not the case. Kedushin is not a svar. Nobody would say, well, how do you get married? You get married, whatever the other things you get married. Maybe the Goyish world works like that in our world. So, Isha Nikis Begimel Drachim, Bekesar Shtabiyah, Pesukim, Kesar Lachim, Sinai. That's already a religious type of kedushin. That's not a secular monitor. That's 1,000 cents. So when it comes to Parshas Kinyanim of Dinim Mamonos, there is no, it's a misnomer. There is no such thing as Parshas Kinyanim. There's no such thing as Parshas Kinyanim. So when it comes to Dinim Mamonos, so then the halacha tells us that we don't really care how the money transferred ownership. As long as Tachlis, the guy, he got his money. He got it through Kesef, Shavu Kesef, credit cards, checks, Mechil, doesn't matter. But when it comes to Kedushin, you better believe it matters. When it comes to Kedushin, unless you did a Maisa Kinyan with a real or a formal Maisa Kinyan, that's Kodesh Kofen, that's not going to help. The Kedushin is not going to be Toifes. So says the Mishnah Yavetz, Bidas the Tezri Azovim, Bidas the Rambam, that's the difference. That's why the Rambam paskins that Kinyan Kesef Karka, Milva's fine. Kinyan Kesef Kedushin, the Milva's going to fall short. Either are some Gemaras that don't seem to bear this out. All those Gemaras are Rish Lakish talking. According to Rish Lakish, there is no such Savara of Parshas Kinyanim. You need Pesukim for Parshas Kinyanim. It has to be a Din Maisa Kesef, and Rochanami has to be a real bona fide authentic Maisa Kesef. So, Habor Chayivchar, there's all three different possibilities, Bidasa Rambam. Maybe you don't want to disagree with Rambam altogether. You want to like the other, most of the Rishonim, like the Rav and others, who say that Kedushin and Kinyan Karka are really identical, but within the Das Ram that they're different. So we saw multiple paths. Either now the Avnei Milum number one, Avnei Milum number two, the Mishus Yavis does Tetz Riazach number three. Different ways to explain this discrepancy between Kinyan Karka of Kinyan Karka versus Kedushin vis-a-vis Mil. That was just the Shirai, the final touch of the last sugya. We begin the next sugya. So I'll try just to give the Rashi Prakham. I'm sorry about the little bit of a mix-up in terms of the Mamakamos. The Gemara had started at the Vav Amud Beis, and it told us, HaMakadosh B'Milva Einu Mekudeshes. That part we finished already. But then the Gemara says an equally cryptic statement, B'Hanos B'Milva Harezu Mekudeshes. If a person is Makadosh an Isha with the benefit of a Milva, then everything's okay. But Asalasas gave him a haramas ribis. The Gemara says you shouldn't do that. Because if you get a Makadisha with a Hanas, we have no idea. Don't feel bad, takes the Gemara a long time to figure out what the world those words mean. But Makadish Banos Milva is good, but you should just know you shouldn't do it because it's haramas ribis. So when the Gemara uses the phrase haramas ribis, we know two things are true. We know that it's also, it looks like ribis, but we also know that it's not real ribis. If it was real ribis, the case, which again, we don't know what the case is, but if this case that we're discussing was the real McCoy of ribis, we wouldn't give it such a powerful word called, you know, haram is it? Doesn't look nice. Kamar Zayin. We would say, this is awesome in a Torah, ribis, we throw the book at you. So haram is ribis on the one hand tells me that it's also, on the other hand tells me it's not so also, not as bad as we thought it was. So, of course, the problem is, what's the case? We don't know what in the world the case is. What is Aramis Ribis? So, Gemara throws out the following possibility. The Gemara says that maybe what Aramis Ribis is as follows. Remember, a month before they get married, so Reuven lends her $100. But he's a real nice chosid. He says, I'm lending you $100, but I'm expecting $120 back. He said, He says, I'm going to give you 100, I want 120 back. And then lo and behold, when they're standing under the chuppah, and he's about to be Makadosh, he can't find the ring. So he says, oh, remember I lent you $100 for 120, I'm going to be a real tzaddik, and I'm going to be Michael the 20. He says, 120, business is business. But the ribbis, you know, in a good day, he's Michael Zayn, the ribbis. So the Gemara says, maybe that's what it means. Maybe that's Makadosh Banos. Maybe that's the case. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, that's probably not the case. You know why? Because Hainu Ribis Ba'al Yusa. That's real Ribis. That's not fake Ribis. That's real Ribis. That's all we needed inside. So we got past that Maramakam, we're okay now. But that's all we have to know. The Gemara created a case, a wild, crazy case, and the Gemara shot it down before it even got a chance to get up. It was like, come on, Hainu Ribis Malyusa, those three words. Hainu Ribis Malyusa. So Rashi on the spot says something which seems very, very innocent, but opens up an entire world for us. Rashi says, when the Gemara says, Hana Ribis Baal Yisab, Vi Amai Korila Haramas Ribis. It's a mistake in the text, Rashi is saying. Why did you just call this case Haramas? This can't be Haramas Ribis. This is the real McCoy. This is real Ribis. So from that line that Rashi said, that my Karila Harabas Ribis, Rashi just told us that he's learning the Gemara in a certain way, and one could have learned the Gemara otherwise. When the Gemara jumps and says, Hainu Ribis, Valyusa, it's the real Ribis, what the Gemara could have been saying is that you can't be Makadosh Inisha with Ribis. What are you, crazy? That's like Makadosh Begezel. That's like stealing something, stealing a ring, and then be Makadosh with it. Notice Rashi didn't say that. Rashi says, when the Gemara jumps and says, Hana Ribis Ma'al Yisa, Rashi says, it's a textual problem. It's a little bit of a quirk. How can you say one thing when you really mean something else? But halachically, Rashi has no problems with that. Halachically, you can be Makadosh and Isha with money that you receive derech Ribis. So now, let's take this to the next level. I forget these crazy case guys, the Chopur, 100, 200, whole story. I lend Reuven $100. And I said, Reuven, I'm lending you $100 on the condition that you return me $120. You can't get more also than that. Ribis d'oraisa, it works. And you give me back $120. And I take those $20 of Ribis, and I go with cash and issue with that. Is that good or is that no good? What's the din? A new shiloh, what's the din? What's the real question? The question is that stolen goods? Is that stolen money or not? So if I would go rob a bank and steal $20 and use that $20 to be Mekadosh and Isha, that's Pasha, that's no good. Mekadosh Begezel, the Gemara later on. Avada Nevada, Enim Kodeshes. I don't mind steal, I go white collar crime, blue collar crime, whatever. I didn't rob a bank. I just made it some kind of a business transaction. I wasn't supposed to do it. The Torah said it's also. So I went ahead and I took the $20 of ribbons that I wasn't supposed to get. It wasn't Magili. I used that $20 to be Mekadosh and Isha. Good or no good? So Rashi sounds like, okay, Rashi says, we have no problems with that in terms of Hilchos Kedushin. That's just not what we were talking about. We were talking about Mekadosh Banos Milva, which is our Rabbis Ribis, and the case that you constructed is correct, that it was Ribis Ma'al Yisa. So the Ritva on the spot makes that observation from Rashi and says, Halach Lamaisa, says the Ritva, if you will go ahead and take Ribis money that you got, the Issa Goma Min HaTorah, and use the Mekadosh Anisha, so b'diavad the condition would be chal, and says the Ritva, stolen goods it's not, stolen money it's not. So why not? What's wrong with that equation? Ribis money is stolen money. Comes the Ritva and says, this touches on a whole sugya already, a whole deeper understanding in terms of how do you understand what ribis is and what is ribis not. So comes the Ritva and says, let's raise a basic question, just how to understand what's going on in terms of ribis. So we shouldn't know from Ribis, it's also the turn to take Ribis, it's also the turn to give Ribis, all true. But let's understand conceptually what exactly Ribis is and what is Ribis not. I lend you $100. According to the purest of the pure of Dini Mamanus, I should have every right to charge you money for that $100. If I own a car, and in English it's hard because the word lend, and by money and by objects is the same thing. In Halacha it's different. Money is lahalvos, and to lend an object is lahashil. Say, I lend you a car. I give you rights to use the car, and I say this, I'm giving you my car for a month, true, but I'm charging you $100. Would anybody question what you're like? Of course I do that. That's chirus. Why not? Let's say I own a house, and I'm quote-unquote lending you the house to live in. I'm lending you the house to live in, and I'm charging you $1,000 rent. Would anybody question? That's called chirus. That's called renting a house. What's the problem? So I'm renting you my money. I have $100. Right now, I would rather use it. If I had $100, I can invest it myself. I'm going to be a nice guy, in a sense, give you the right to use it. So I'm charging you $100 for that rental fee. What's wrong with that? Well, according to strict Midas Adin, there should be nothing wrong with that. Comes the Torah and says, as kaspecha l'asita l'baneshech, l'sashech l'yachicha, l'tikach l'nesher v'sarbis. The Torah says 100 times, you're not allowed to do that. It's awesome in the Torah to do that. Just derech agav. It's so logical that you should be able to do that, that vis-a-vis a non-Jew, you in fact, are allowed to do that. You're not allowed to steal from a non-Jew, you're not allowed to take away the non-Jew's money, but he has to charge the non-Jew rent for the money? What's wrong with that? Because it's a chiddush HaTorah that ribis is also. If not for the pasuk in a million years, I wouldn't have said ribis is also. But now the Torah says it is also. So tachlis, the bottom line is the Torah says, you can't do that. You can't pull that stunt of charging rent for money. So how do you understand the nature of that halacha? Is the Torah saying that fundamentally you are right, that in terms of piyuchei shemishpat, you are allowed to charge rent for the money, but it's a mitzvah satorah not to, and therefore the person who violates the mitzvah satorah violated the mitzvah satorah. It was a terrible thing you did. We're not condoning ribbis at all. But in terms of chay shemishpat, you had every right to do it. And therefore, when the person gives you that $20 of ribbis, he's giving it to him, and it's yours. He gave it to you willingly. He did. Nobody asked him to sign the contract of ribbis. So he willingly gave you the money. You accepted the money. The halacha should have been that you're allowed to accept this money. There's a mitzvah satorah. What you did was not appropriate. Okay, zolzayin. You did something that was not appropriate. But in terms of dinim mamonis, you are now the rightful owner of this money. And therefore, you could take that money, and people can say, we have no qualms about that. That's one way of understanding ribbis. Or do I say no? It's true that the starting point of ribbis was it should have been okay, but the starting point is not the ending point. The Torah says, you're not going to do that. Al-tikach v'ito nashach v'sar. The Torah says, don't do that. So the Torah says, don't do that. What the Torah is saying is the Torah is rewriting the rules of Chashim Mishpat. The Torah is saying you no longer have a right to take that money. In Dinim Amos, Chashim Mishpat. And if you take the money, you're a thief. Take the money, you're a ganav. You're not entitled to that money. And if you take it, it's not yours. And if you use it to Mekadosh Isha, it's not going to work. So how do you understand what is the din of Mekadosh Beribis? Mekadosh Beribis is really reflecting a much deeper, much more fundamental question. What is the very nature of ribbis? Is ribbis really, really a violation of chashim mishpat, or is ribbis ultimately just a violation in the sense of yeridah? It's interesting because in Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch puts up his ribbis in yeridah. Yeridah is issa v'heter. Yeridah is what kashrus and need that mikvos is and feilus, etc. And Hilchos Ribbis gets snuck in there as well. Hilchos Ribbis does not appear in Chashim Mishpat. Chashim Mishpat is Dina Mominis, buying and selling, and Yerusha, things like that. So my high, why did Shulchan Aruch place it in Yerodea? So it could be that the Shulchan Aruch meant to highlight this idea that it really belongs, it's closer to religious law than it is to civil law. So remember when I was in high school, the first time we were learning Mesechta Kedushin, we were learning the first Pesach Kedushin. I can't say I remember everything from ninth grade, but I remember this particular one, I remember. So remember, Rebbe at the time, Mordechai Marcus Shlita, so he was trying to impress upon us this idea that ribbis is more issa v'heter rather than dinim mamonis. So remember, that was the first time I heard this raya. So he said that, after all, the Shulchan Aruch puts it into your debt. So one of the boys raised the hand and says, Rebbe, where does the Rambam put Hilchos Ribbis? I guess he must have probably told us another Shtickle Torah at some time. You're flipping the Rambam puts things. Where did the Rambam put it? So he said, the Rambam puts it in the Hilchos Malva V'loiva. So one of the Talmidim, so the Talmud asked, but Rebbe, according to your Shtickle Torah, it should have been in Hilchos Kedusha, Hilchos Shchita, Hilchos Malva, somewhere else. So I remember like yesterday, he said, don't bother with the Rambam. The Rambam had nowhere else to put it. So he stuck it in Hilchos Malva V'loiva. But it really belongs in this event. maybe. So anyway, getting back to the story. So the Ritva on the spot, and as Sugya says, that this shayla, this underlying shayla, fundamentally, is ribbis really a sevhet, is ribbis chashim mishpat, the nafkamin ladina will be, can you mekadosh anisha with ribbis? And from Rashi and Asugya, it appears that the answer to this question would be yes, that in fact you can. Says the Ritva, I'm going to prove to you now that fundamentally, ribbis is not dina mamas. Let's say leaving out the Kedushin, the normal guy took ribbis. So he took ribbis already. Now what? So he took the ribbis. So last week he took $100 of ribbis. Now, what do you do at this point? So the Gemara quotes Machlokes is the fifth pech above Metzia. What do you do after the fact? You took the ribbis. So one opinion, Rabbi Yochanan says, you took it, finish, it's yours. It's yours to keep. You don't have to give it back. And Rabbi Elazar says, you have to give it back. And if you don't give it back, we're going to get really upset at you. We may even make you give it back, etc. You have to give it back. So the Gemara says, my time of Rabbi Elazar. Why does Rabbi Elazar say you have to return the ribbis? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk. The pasuk says, Al tikach mito neshech v'sarbis v'yareisim l'kecha v'chei achicha imach. The Torah says in Parshas Bahar, don't take ribbis, but rather, v'chei achicha imach, help your brother live. So the Pshuta Shemikra means, don't take ribbis, i.e., lend him the money without ribbis, and therefore he'll live. So Rabbi Elazar has a deeper meaning there. Rabbi Elazar says, don't take ribbis, period. And for you who violated what I just told you and took ribbis, give it back. Why? V'chechechimach. So according to Belazar, the last three words, V'chechechimach, are discussing the person who violated the prohibition of ribbis. instead of just sitting around and twiddling your thumbs and taking the ribbons and using it, you better give it back. There's a mitzvah to give it back to Chechichimach. Rabbi Yochanan obviously didn't learn the pasuk that way. Rabbi Yochanan says, don't take it in the first place because Chechichimach, you're talking already, you're talking to finish it, there's nothing you can do about it. So comes the Ritvah and says, let's analyze that issue. Should you be returning the ribbons or should you not be returning the ribbons? Says the Ritvah, if ribbons is gezela, if ribbons is the mamonis, what do we, how can a Chinese, should you return it? Should not return it? It's a pasuk, not a pasuk. We don't know that you have to return stolen goods. Isn't there a Heshus Exel Shagozel? Isn't that the ABCs of Baba Kama? You stole it, you have to return it. So comes the Ritva and says, why all of a sudden the Amoraim wake up in the fifth paragraph of Metziah and have Machlekes Amoraim, do you have to return Ribbis or not? And even Al Atzad, do you have to return Ribbis? Says the Ritva, it's only because of Exel Shagozel. It's only because there's a special quirk of a Pasuk that says, and by the way, Bechechimach, if not for that Pasuk, then you wouldn't have to return Ribbis. Why not? Return it out to Gazela. You see from here, Ribbis is not Gazela. So if you had a blackboard here and you wanted to make an inequality on the board, you would write Ribbis with a big equal sign and put a line through it. Ribbis is not Gazela. Proof positive, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even have to return it. And even according to Abulazar, who says you have to return it, you don't really have to return it. You only have to return it to fulfill the pasuk of Bechei Chechimach. But if not for that, you would not have to return it. So far, the Ritva is on a roll. So far, we have, looks very, very good. Looks very, very, very much in the direction. The Ribbis is not Gezela. Now the Ritva goes one step further. The Gemara says, what would the din be if Reuven borrows money Beribis from Shimon? He's got a lot of money Beribis from Shimon. And then Reuven dies. The Malva Beribis, both parties, the Malva and Lova violated Ribbis. The Malva is the primary prohibition. He violates Ribbis, and now he dies. And now the sons want to know, are we mechuyev to return the ribbons? What's the din? So the Gemara says, no, the Yerushim are not obligated to return the ribbons. The Gemara says that if everybody knows that it's ribbons and it's going to lead to a bizayon to the father, maybe you have to keep it out of aim day return. That's already an extra halachic issue right now. But in terms of the pure halacha, the Gemara says, the children, the Yerushim, are not obligated to return the ribbons. Why are they not obligated to return the ribbons? So the Gemara has the following drash. This is Rabbi Elazar speaking. According to Yochanan, even the father himself wasn't obligated. But according to Elazar, that the father was obligated. So the Gemara has the following drash. Altikach me'ita neshach v'sabes. Don't you dare and take ribbons, but rather, v'chechechimach, make sure to give it back. L'didei azar rachamana, l'berei lo azar rachamana. The Torah only is speaking to the Malva. The Torah is saying, you, Malva, you took the ribbis, give it back. The child, the tzaddik is sitting, the son sitting and learning in college, he doesn't know the money, the ribbis, all of a sudden he gets his big Yerusha of ribbis. So the Torah says, it's on the house, it's yours, it's a freebie. You're not going to give it back. L'didei azar rachamana, l'brei lo azar rachamana. So comes the Ritva and says, man, if ribbis is gezela, would anybody ever in their right mind say that if a guy Yarshin's Gazette doesn't give it back? Who's has to give it back? It's not his. Facial Shagaza. It doesn't belong to him. Of course you have to give back stolen goods. What do you want me? I didn't steal, my father stole. That's irrelevant. True but irrelevant. If it's stolen goods have to return to the rightful owner. So comes the Ritva and says, wait a second. How come we saying that I don't have to return the goods of ribbons? It's not my archai. I didn't take it. I don't have a mitzvah chirimach. Says Ritva, this is again highlighting the same principle, that this is not stolen goods. Ribbis is not stolen. Ribbis was gotten fair and square. We signed the contract. You agreed. Nobody asked you to borrow the money. Nobody asked you to sign to the terms of ribbis. You did. I had a Torah said you didn't have Eira. It's like eating treif. That's what's in your day. It's like eating chazah. It's like b'machal Shabbos. So you did a wrong thing, chatasi, but l'maisa, the money's yours. So the fact the money is yours, therefore, in theory, you could keep it, which is exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says. And even Rabbi Elazar, who says you can't keep it, that's for a technical mitzvah, v'chechechimach. And proof positive, says the Ritva, if and when the mitzvah doesn't apply, like in the case of Yerushim, so the din doesn't apply either, and you're in fact not obligated to return it. So the Yerushim considered this a big windfall. They just got these millions of dollars of ribbis, right? It's on the house. Unless it's keep it up. Hey, sure that's another issue, but again, that's extracurricular in terms of our discussion. So the Ritva sounds like he's doing well, and therefore, Habakadosh Beribis is not Habakudashis. Comes the Me'iri on our sugya, and the Me'iri quotes a Yesh Omrim, anonymous sheet, we don't know who it is, we don't have any access to the other Mishanim. The Me'iri says, a Yesh Omrim, that Habakadosh Beribis is the halach equivalent of Habakadosh Begezel. And therefore, just as Bekadosh Begezel is Einim Kudeshes, Bina Torah, it's not much nothing, so to Bekadosh Beribis is absolutely zero, absolutely nothing on the level of Deraisa. Atkan Divriha, Ridva in terms of the Biri, in terms of the equation. So the Biri has a lot of explaining to do. So according to these Yeshomim and the Biri, so what's going on in the Gemara? What's going on? The Gemara says that you don't have to return it, you do have to return it, it's a pasuk you have to return it, and the children don't have to return it. So comes the Biri says that once the Torah is mechadish to me, that ribis is like, that you're not allowed to take ribis, included in that is the fact that ribis is like gazela, which is exactly what Rabbi Loza is saying. That's all part of the Chiddush HaTorah, that the Torah is saying, don't take ribis and return it, i.e. by telling me don't take it and returning it, the Torah is telling me that's like gazela. So why don't the children have to return it? Says the Rabiri, the Yeshomim, two magic words, gazera sakosa, don't ask any kashas. Says the Yeshom and the Meiri, the fact that Lamaisa, the children don't have to return the ribbis, that doesn't indicate to us anything about the grandiose nature of ribbis. The grandiose nature, the picture of ribbis is gazela. How do I know that? I didn't know that on my own, but I figured that out. Once the Torah says don't take it, once the Torah says return it, once the Torah gives me the whole picture of what you're not allowed to do with ribbis, what you're now mechuyv to do with ribbis, that is tantamount to saying is gazela. How come we don't reach the final conclusion that the children have to return it? Kasha l'may. Kasha on the pasuk. The pasuk says the children don't have to return it. It's a freebie for the children. So if a major machlokes now between the Ritva and the Miri, how do you make sense of this whole picture of ribbis? What is the end of the day about ribbis? Is ribbis equal gazela? Does ribbis not equal gazela? What's the test case? What's the nafkamina ladina? The test case is l'kiddushin. That's the nafkamina. As they say, there's a joke in the Olam HaYeshivas. A guy says a chakira, and he has no my nafkamina, so he thinks for a minute. A nafkamina for kiddusha isha. Nafkamina, but guys, but Kaddish and Isha are manas that this side of the Chakir is right, so it's important to know which side of the Chakir is right. So, but this is the real Nafkamina Kedusha Isha. The opposite of Nafkamina Kedusha Isha is that if Ribbis is Gazela, so then you can't be Kaddish and Isha with it. If Ribbis is not Gazela, then you can't be Kaddish and Isha with it. So what's the answer to that question? So that's the Machlaikis, the Ritva against the Yeshua and the Meiri. And it all revolves around our Gemara. So now that we've developed this the basic structure in terms of the machlokes, now we have to branch out a little bit and see, are there any other real nafkaminas? Any other rishonim have anything to talk about this topic? So the basic sugya, I'm going to finish the sugya by any stretch of imagination, the basic issue we've raised, the basic hakira we've raised, we've identified the machlokes of rishonim, we identified one, you know, almost like tangential nafkamina like kedusha isha, but is there something more basic, something more fundamental in terms of what really emanates from whether we view ribbis through the eyes of gazela or through the eyes of gazela. So hopefully that's next week. So we have to go back to that machlekes Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Elazar, because a lot of it's going to revolve around that Rabbi Elazar, which we have the pasuk in the Gemara. We pasuk Rabbi Elazar in this one, and we pasuk that ribbis is yaitze b'dayanim, that ribbis is going to have to return. Person took ribbis, they're going to have to return the money. We don't know yet whether that's mumminus al gzela or whether that's just stamminus a mitzvah, a visavahat of chechichimach, but we're going to have to hopefully focus on the details, the parameters of that din of ribbis ksus yotz b'dayanim and see what the details of those din are. Once we identify some of the details of that din, that will help us to understand a little bit more what the nature of ribbis is all about. So next week, we'll try to analyze a little bit more about the
sugya. How does the Meiri then understand the Gemara that even that talks about Rama's ribbis? Forget about Rama's ribbis, just say Pashat saying, I'll let my kasha because it's ribbis.
So according to the Meiri, that was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara said, the Gemara just says, Hana ribbis. Rashi stuck in, for my korla Rama's ribbis. Rashi is the one who put it in.
Right, so, but then
according to the Meiri, that was the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara says, what are you telling me you can be kasha the ribbis? That case you just constructed of 100 for 120, for sure you can be kasha. Hana ribbis mal yisa. So Hana ribbis mal yisa, v'hanu gazela. That's what the Meiri says. Then on that line, the Meiri says, v'hanu gazela, v'hanu kibbe kasha, v'mos gazulu. That's what the Meiri, I mean, I just paraphrase, that's pretty much what he said.
Isn't it a mitzvah balvera? Does it matter if it's gazela?
That's also true, but mitzvah balvera is probably not going to impact b'dievet on the kedushin. Mitzvah balvera means I can't be yotzei lulav, sukkah, those kinds of things. If a kohen is b'kaddish agusha, it's also mitzvah balvera, but the kedushin is still tofes. So mitzvah balvera impacts on the mitzvah's kedushin, it's not going to impact on the chalos kedushin.
Why is gazela awesome?
You mean why is it also the Mekadosh Nisha with it?
Why can't it? Is it because he doesn't own it?
Yeah, right. That's right. It's not yours, right? So part of the din of
keeping. No question, Ribbit he owns.
But it could be, according to some Rishonim, from the fact that he's mechuyav to give it back, that in effect indicates he doesn't own it. I mean, the Torah says it's not yours.
That's the question, right?
So your conventional wisdom is like you. The Ritva is the role of Rishonim, but the Daos Yeshavim and the Miri learned that you have to give it back. Harai, it's not yours.
Even with this Yush?
Yush throws a whole nother monkey wrench into the sugya. I would say we'd have to wait for that, but I don't even know we're going to get to it that this year.
But we
may get to it in Sukkah, though, because it's the beginning of the third round of Sukkah next year if we get there at some point.
But